This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to this Sunday's version of the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're joining us this week. I'm Jason Laidler here with the world-famous Ted Walsh. And in fact, we're all, the whole gang's here this week, sort of. Debbie's with us. Debbie Stanley, who normally participates in the second segment every week with her segment about avoiding the probate puzzle. Well, we're going to do that, of course, as we normally do. But because it's a special week, I guess, for us, sort of. So we're all here together. Hi, Debbie. How's it going?
I am doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks. Mr. Walshen,
you
good?
Very well. Welcome to the final week of summer, officially. Summer kicks in, I think, the first full day of fall, I should say, kicks in on the 23rd.
I've already noticed the mornings are darker.
Well, I was lying in bed yesterday, and I was looking out my window, and I noticed that one of my neighbor's trees started changing color a little bit.
Yeah, and I hit some golf balls on the weekend last week, and there's already leaves on the course, which makes it hard for you to find your ball.
Yeah.
Right? So that's happening.
Yeah, but that's one of the great things about playing in the fall, because you get to invoke the leaf rule. It's like, I swear I hit it right down the middle, man, but none of us can find the ball. Okay, we'll just drop the ball where you think you land it, right?
I've never heard of the leaf rule.
Oh, yeah, you invoked your leaf rule. You got the leaves working for you, man. But yeah, it is with my friends.
Okay.
Not the shady bunch that they are.
I was going to say, I think I need to play golf with you and your friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Debbie, do you golf much, ever?
I do not. My husband golfs. I've never heard of the leaf rule.
Well, me neither.
But I'll ask him about it.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think many people have. I have a feeling.
Now, Debbie, you got to be all excited because you're heading for Greece.
I am, and I'm very excited. I think we have it down to hours, possibly, on an app. My husband has a countdown app.
And
we'll be heading there for 2 weeks.
Good for you. Yep. So we won't hear from you for 2 weeks then.
That's right. There won't be any updates for those 2 weeks. Now, that doesn't mean that our clients aren't being served while I'm away. We do have team members and staff that can assist. So if there's listeners that want to send in questions, they'll still get a response and all our files continue to move while I'm gallivanting the islands in Greece.
So you're not taking your whole staff with you to Greece, is what you're saying?
No. This is not a team building exercise.
A team building, right.
This one. No. Yeah, this is just for me.
No, have you been to Greece before?
I haven't. This has been a bucket list trip for me ever since I was little. I don't know why Greece was my number one place, and we were able to make it happen after COVID. So I'm very excited.
I guess you're going at a good time, because if you go too much earlier in the year, you get into some really, really brutal heat, right? And it gets into the mid-40s and stuff, right?
Yuck.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good time. I was told that there's less tourists as well at this time in September. I'm really just excited to eat. I want to eat my way through the country.
Yeah. Have you been, Ted?
No.
No, me neither.
No, been to Italy. Haven't been to Greece, though. I'd like to go back to Italy.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to Ukraine someday, but I'll kind of wait until things quiet down a little bit.
I think the flights are cheap right now, I think. So
you can't get in. You can't fly into Ukraine.
No?
No, you have to fly in. You have to fly into Warsaw, and then it's like, if you want to go to Kiev, it's like a 10-hour train ride. My former doctor, not my current doctor, my doctor prior to that, who left to go practice with geriatrics, just left to go work for Global Medics in Ukraine. He's going to be stationed right on the border of Poland and Ukraine, so he'll be treating people who are fleeing Ukraine to cross into Poland.
That's still happening? I thought, the people who wanted to leave, I thought they left already.
No, there's still some people leaving.
Yeah. What a shame.
It's a fluid motion, you know. It's a fluid situation, I should say.
Yeah.
It's getting better at times, and then it takes two steps forward, one step back, you know.
Well, this is the Void Probate Show, as I mentioned off the start here. Glad you're joining us. We said a long time ago in the very first few episodes of this broadcast a couple years ago, we were getting over COVID, and we said, okay, we're not going to talk about COVID, and we're not going to talk about politics. We talk about probate stuff and avoiding probate stuff, and in the opening segment, sometimes we talk about vacations, food, and sports. Argos.
Yeah.
Cool. 10-1. They would have. It's not 10-1. They went into Friday's game 10-1.
That's right.
Amazing start to the season.
Absolutely.
So who knows? They could be playing in the Grey Cup just down the road. It's in Hamilton.
Well, they've qualified for the playoffs already. So
yep. I love it.
Pretty exciting.
Big fan of the CFL. We all know Ted's a big fan of the NFL. But
I like them both.
Yeah. I like them both. I just prefer the CFL.
I watched the last two Argo games, and that was
so fun. So fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting to watch. Yep. And I'm glad to see that the attendance has gone up somewhat. Still not great numbers. Well, mind you know that I was watching a baseball game in Oakland the other night.
Yeah.
5,000 people.
I saw the same thing. I was going to tell you that because it was literally the stadium looked like it was empty.
Yeah.
And I happened to hear the guy say it was like 5,000 and change. I'm like, holy, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yep.
Deb, you mentioned Greek food. Like, do you have a favorite or do you love it all?
I love it all. I am really looking forward to the honey. I keep hearing about
what?
How great the honey is.
Really?
Yeah. Who knew? Apparently it's very good. Has healthy medicinal components to it. So well, I'm going to eat yogurt and honey.
Doesn't Canadian honey have that too?
No. Apparently it's all in the way that it's collected and then maybe pasteurized, or it's boiled down here in Canada and sugar's added, where in Greece it's very natural.
Well, you can get you can get natural honey here as well. And you want to get non-pasteurized because that's the healthiest.
Right. Mm.
In fact, you can eat, man can survive on a spoonful of honey for 24 hours.
I'm sure.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
24, but don't you want to survive for longer than 24 hours?
Yeah, but I'm just saying. It's also the only food that will not spoil.
It's weird, eh? How it doesn't spoil.
Does not spoil. Because it's already been...
Honey...
It's already been regurgitated.
And
right?
Twinkies. Twinkies don't spoil either.
I don't think that's part of any food group, to be honest with you.
All right, let's get this show on the road here.
Yeah.
After that, we have a big show, of course. I love it when we're all on the mic for the whole show. It doesn't happen every week, but it's happening this week. So if you're new to the show, it's your lucky week to join us. Because like I said, we're all here. Debbie's technically not in the studio, but she's joining us remotely. Ted and I are in studio. And, of course, Kelly, our awesome producer, is taking care of us from behind the glass, which is tricky when some of us are in studio and some of us aren't. But she makes it look easy. Coming up on the show, what do we got, Ted?
Well, Debbie's going to take us on the road to solving the probate puzzle. And hopefully there's some new information there that you'll share with us, Debbie.
Before you go on vacation.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
We also have, I'm here to tell you, we got an email bag that's bursting at the seams. So I think it's safe to say we're going to have an extended email segment today. But that's always good. It's a popular segment with the listeners.
Yep. And we're going to talk to Debbie about... exactly is probated? Specifically, for example, what happens to mom's car?
Yeah, we're going to play a little game.
Yeah.
See if we can stump Debbie about what gets probated and how. You ready to play that game, Debbie?
I don't know how I'm feeling about this, but I'm ready.
To be fair and honest, full disclosure to the listeners, Debbie didn't know. Debbie didn't know we were playing this game until about, I don't know, 45 seconds ago. So now she knows, and she can start cramming, because we're going to go to our first break, and we'll come back with the update about solving the probate puzzle right after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
It's time to gear up for fall with cool weather fashions from the very cool Kensington Market. Hey, it's Ted Wallace in for Tom's Place, where you're invited to check out the latest fall fashions that have just arrived. And since it is Tom's Place, even the new arrivals are on sale. Fall colors, new patterns, fresh designs, designer slim fit suits sold elsewhere for as much as $600, start at only $179 at Tom's Place. Check out Tom's fabulous collection of S. Cohen and other designer suits. Regular, three for $1,200, slashed for radio listeners to $1,100. Pick out a couple of sports jackets. Selected sports jackets are now 50% off, plus selected dress and casual pants, 50% off. Play it cool at Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back, and as usual, I'm Ted Wallison. He's Jason Laidler. And the information we provide for you in this program is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different, and so if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert. We have them on hand for you, and you can contact us so we can contact them or put you in contact with them, whichever you wish. And you can do so via email, and our email address is info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. Or you can call toll-free, and the number is 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. So please contact us with your questions and your comments as well. They are all welcome, Jace.
Yep, we love that when that happens, and we're going to address some of those before the hour's over. But we got Debbie on the line here. Like I said, she's not in studio, but she's joining us for the whole show today, which is great. And right now we're going to do her regular segment updating us on the probate file called Roxy Moo. What's going on, Debbie, with Roxy Moo? Anything exciting?
I don't have actually too much of an update because we're still waiting for the probate to go through the court. And we have been selling items through the auction, the online auction. What I was hoping to do is also update you on something we encountered that was sort of similar to Roxy Moo's estate, but a different outcome. And I thought you might be interested in this. So I'm piquing your interest here.
You are. Keep going.
Okay. Well, in Roxy Moo's estate, if our listeners remember or you're new to the show, I am the named executor and I'm applying for probate to the Superior Court, which is in the Peel region in Mississauga. So right now we're in a holding pattern. And in the estate, there is a condo and there was investments, an online bank, and there were contents of the home, the condo. So stuff, right? We all have stuff. Jason, you have things. Ted, you've got things.
I got things.
I love stuff.
I do. I have one room for things in my house and another room just for issues.
I'm not going to ask you which room's bigger, Ted.
You don't have to.
Okay.
Bringing the contractors in.
Well, I think what's important to note is that we all have things. And in Ms. Roxy Moo's case, that's what we had. And we started inventorying those items, creating values for them, and starting to sell them. Now, in Roxy Moo's case, we're dealing with the beneficiaries, and everybody was in agreement on putting the items up for auction and for sale and trying to get the highest price that we possibly could for the particular items, but no one had a minimum value, if you will, on what they wanted to see something go for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Perfect. On the flip side, we were assisting another estate with a very similar circumstance. However, what happened in the other estate, and I'm not the executor, we're assisting, is we were trying to have them also do the auction for the things and the stuff. But the family started having ideas of what they felt their sentimental minimums would be for these things. Mm. So what ended up happening was they didn't end up selling anything.
Wow. Because they couldn't agree on values.
Because they couldn't agree on those values that they were willing to let things go for.
So did they take the stuff? Did the family divvy it up amongst themselves?
No, they donated and threw out things.
Oh, no way. So instead of getting something, even if it was less than they thought it was worth, they just, for the sake of argument, tossed it all.
Tossed it all because nobody could agree. And we kept saying, well, isn't $20 worth more than nothing at all?
Right.
But they said that they couldn't bear to let something go for that $20.
So they just gave it away.
So they gave it away. And I started thinking about, well, how often probably does this happen?
All the time. Come on.
Right.
It has to happen all the time. The number one the growth industry is storage facilities, right?
I see them popping up all over the place.
Absolutely. And I am guilty. I'm a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone chastises me. Jason, is it worth it? How long have you had that storage unit for? I'm not going to tell you. It's been years, okay?
Well, you remember when they first started building storage units years ago? They were like basically one, two stories. They're like 6, 8, 9 stories high now.
There's big ones in the GTA. I'm north of the city.
Oh, there's big ones.
They're fancy and climate controlled and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They must cost a fortune.
Yes. Well, I got curious about this and I contacted a company, and I won't name the company just because I didn't get permission on stating this on the radio, but one of those removal companies that come to your home and take your stuff.
Yep.
And I wanted to know how much are you throwing out from homes? And I was astounded to find out that it's truckloads upon truckloads of garbage that they're taking from estates because families just say, just throw it out.
Wow. Okay. Getting back to Roxy Moo, I know you were selling a lot of the contents and the stuff. My question is, I think there's two beneficiaries, two children. Yes.
Yes. Two children.
Did anybody step up and say, hey, I don't want you to sell that. I wanted that. Or mom said I could have that. Was there anything that didn't go like on the auctioneer's block because it was spoken for either officially or unofficially?
Yes. Yeah, there were. So what we did was we took an inventory of every item in the condo, literally, 12 spoons. This many forks, this many cups. And we sent the list to the two children and said, is there anything on this list that you want? Because they are the two beneficiaries.
Yeah.
And they sent us back it wasn't a very large list, but they sent us back a list. Luckily, neither one wanted what the other one had asked for.
Interesting. Yeah. Lucky.
If they did, we would have just held a draw, pull straws or pick a number, just to be fair.
Arm wrestle.
Neutral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And impartial, exactly. But in this case, they sent their list. Again, the beneficiaries are overseas, so they were very aware of how much it would cost to ship big items. And they took the things that were sentimental.
So nobody took the upright piano then?
Nobody took the piano. They did take some items when they came to visit Roxy Moo before passing.
Yeah.
So they had gone to the home and picked up the items that they could fly back with them. But other than that, the list was sent to them. They decided. And then from there, we sold some items for as low as $2, but
Holy.
We got $2.
Yeah. Well, good. Good for you. I mean, why not? You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, in your capacity as the executor to get as much value from the estate as possible. Otherwise, the executor is beholden to the beneficiaries, right? The beneficiaries are entitled to, maximum dollar is kind of a crass way to put it, but that's what I'm trying to say, right? And if they think the executor is, selling things in a fire sale just to be lazy and efficient, then the executor can be called out on that, right?
Right. And that's where communication is so important between the executor and the beneficiaries. It's not that you're asking the beneficiaries to call the shots, but you want to make sure everybody's on the same page with major decisions like that. You're not asking their permission, but you are bringing them up to date on what you're doing.
Communication. Yeah, I can understand how that can play an important role in this line of work. Well, good. That's a great update. Even though, just to remind the listeners, as Debbie said off the top, if you're new to the show, Debbie has submitted the application to the probate court. It's been weeks. I've lost track of how many off the top of my head, but it's been weeks since that application was submitted, along with the probate fee, because it has to be paid up front with the initial application. That's what gets the ball rolling, and it's out of her hands, literally. It's in the courthouse somewhere, in some clerk's hands, or sitting in a pile of applications on a clerk's desk waiting to be processed. And that's what takes the time. This is when we talk about 10 months of frozen bank accounts, this is why. The assets are basically frozen until that application is processed. And then what that looks like when it's processed is it's a certificate that the executor receives, which now gives Debbie the magical powers to sell stuff she doesn't own, like the condo, and start delivering bequests and taking care of beneficiaries and stuff like that. So I just want to just recap, you know, what it means to be waiting. What are we waiting for? That's what we're waiting for. The courts, the probate courts in Ontario were backed up before COVID. During COVID, this is a COVID refresher for you listeners. During COVID, the province shut down the government for the better part of a year and a half, including the courts. So think about that. The probate courts were backed up. Then they closed the court for a year and a half. Well, people kept dying during COVID, perhaps at an increased rate. And so the backup just grew and grew and grew and grew. And here we are. And to my knowledge, maybe Debbie, you might know, I certainly don't know if there was any like hiring spree to add clerks, for lack of a better term, you know, to the courthouse to help process or eliminate the backlog. I didn't hear about any such hiring spree, but maybe it happened.
I didn't hear of a hiring spree either. I know that the courts, they didn't shut down in the way that the world shut down because they had emergency type hearings,
yes,
especially for family law, if they had to remove a child from an unsafe situation. But that's what they were focusing on, right? Estates were staying on a desk because they were dealing with emergencies as well. Mm-hmm. You may not think of a court as an emergency, but there were definitely situations.
Yeah. So once again, I'll throw it out there to the listeners. Is there any listeners out there who have experience working in the probate court specifically? I'd love to have a chat. You know, call us, tell us what that experience was like in your day, or even if you're still there today. We'd love to know.
Yeah, it might be easier to find somebody who has worked as opposed to who's currently working, and I might be afraid to chat.
Yeah.
But if you have worked in the probate court system and you'd like to share some experience with us and give people an idea of what to expect, we'd love to chat with you on the air.
Yeah, and we could do it anonymously is the word I was looking for there. You know, we don't need to know names either, but yep. Okay. Well, thanks for the update, Debbie. Were you done? Are we good?
Yes, we're good. We're great.
We're good for Roxy Moo for now. Is it, you're back next week, right? You're not gone.
No, I'm gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, so you're gone as of today. You're gone for the next two Sundays.
Yes.
So then, okay. Then we'll have a big, fat, juicy update. Like 3 weeks worth.
I hope so. Hope that I have some great news when I come back.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay, well, we'll find out. So in the meantime, though, like you said, the ball's still rolling. The application is still pending. It's out of your hands. So whether you're here or you're in Greece, you have no way to control how that thing's being processed in the courts. So there's nothing you could do anyway, right? You're waiting. We're playing the waiting game.
I'm waiting.
This is what
happened. I'm waiting either in Guelph or in
Greece. Welcome to probate. Probate is waiting a big chunk of the time and paying probate fees, et cetera. And we can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that.
Now you're going to come back on the next segment, and we're going to chat about some of the questions that, like, what happens to mom's car? The questions that we didn't prep you on.
yes, the game that I knew nothing about.
Okay, well, let's play that game when we get back right after this quick break.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Okay, here we go.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
A diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or dementia for you or someone in your life can be challenging. You don't have to face it alone, especially when help and support are so close at hand. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario can connect you with experts, education and care, valuable resources, and people who really want to help. Connect with us. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario at ourconnectionsmatter.com.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show. Just before we get to some of your questions and some of our questions, please, if you have questions or comments, send them off to us. Info at avoidprobate.ca. That is our email address, info at avoidprobate.ca. Questions, comments, anything at all. Or you can call toll-free 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. And not to confuse the folks, but when we signed off with Debbie's solving the probate puzzle, we forgot to give your information, Debbie, as to how people can best get a hold of you. Do you have a landline in Greece?
No, I don't.
Yet. Not yet, Ted.
There's no Athens office?
No, but they can reach the team while I'm gone by going to our website, which is etpcanada.ca. Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 866-309-0387. And any questions can go to info@etpcanada.ca. And if you are thinking of taking the course while I'm away, because you think there might be some answers to your questions there, then that's executorready.ca.
And, you know, we always talk about, for the most part, when we talk about being probated, we talk about people's savings accounts being probated. But there's so much that,
the house.
That can be, and the house. But there's so much that can be probated. Kelly's got an interesting question she wanted to ask. Kelly?
What about air miles?
That's a good point because, you know, some people collect a lot of air miles. I mean, to the point where, you know, you can fly around the world.
Yeah, right? Or any loyalty, like Aeroplan.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case may be. You put all your expenses through your business credit card and you rack up.
And suddenly it's worth thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, a lot of money for sure. And is it an asset? And if it's an asset, is it probated? Debbie, what do you say to that?
Okay, well, the points are in fact an asset of the estate because they can be cashed in. So they do turn into a dollar value, whether it's air miles or RBC points or Aeroplan, those do in fact pay out. However, it's good to note that there are some point programs that don't pay out and it just ends on death. And a very common one that doesn't pay out is PC Optimum. And I know a lot of people have those points. So use them as you accrue them. Now,
interesting.
The question, the game question, is it part of probate? So this is the caveat to this game is if you don't have an estate that needs to be probated at all, then it won't trigger a probate issue. I'm trying to think of another way to word this, but if you're already going through probate because you have a house and you have bank accounts and everything, then you have to include it in probate.
Really? You're seeking a valuation on the deceased person's loyalty points.
Yes.
So that's all put into one big thing. So essentially, you have only $35,000 in cash, but you've got $15,000 versus royalty points. So loyalty points. So now all of a sudden, your estate is now valued at $50,000.
Well, it depends on the dollar value of the points.
Yeah,
so
that's
the
what
point
I'm saying.
Programs. Yeah, they'll give you the point value, yes.
Right.
So they will give us the dollar value.
Hold
some places
yeah,
are
so,
different.
Hold on. So you start accumulating and everything goes into one big bucket.
You're telling me that people in Ontario, some people, obviously not everybody, are paying a probate fee on their loyalty points after they've passed away?
Yes. Now, whether or not people know that they should be is another question. But yes, it is in fact something that should be included in the inventory if you're going through the probate process. It has a dollar value, so it should be probated
now,
or
included
in the probate.
If you've got an Optima card and you know your granddad dies and he's got an Optima card and there's like 700 points on there or whatever, I suggest you just take the card and next time you go to Shoppers or next time you go to Loblaws, just use the card. Nobody asks you for ID.
That was going to be my next question. Can you cash in those points post?
I don't think you
posthumously.
You can't cash in Optima points.
No,
except for
no.
product.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so let's cash again. I don't mean for dollars.
Yeah. So
I mean, can you cash me in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, because nobody asks you for if your name, what your name is. All you got to do is just show the card, right?
No one asks
Yeah,
you.
Especially with self-checkout, right? I mean, I'm not giving this advice over the air right now. If you just went to the self-checkout and used the card, how are they going to know? But it's not as if you're going to receive a check from PC Optimum.
Wow. So I'm shocked. But air miles, I want to move on. But last question, I guess, with this. Great question, Kelly. Thank you. you know, can you go on the website? Air Miles used to have a bunch of products. You know, if you had enough points, you could order a speaker for your, you know, a Bluetooth speaker for your phone.
Can I
still do that. I guess, I mean, the Air Miles people don't know if Grandpa's still alive or not.
Well, then we're talking about fraud, right?
That's why I'm asking if you can cash them in posthumously.
No. So what happens is when the person passes, then the executor will notify Air Miles, and they have a whole big form. It's actually a very smooth process. And you can either transfer the points to a beneficiary or you're going to be cashing them in.
Yeah, but when you go through American Express points or whatever, it's a little bit more complicated than cashing in your Optima card, which you can use to buy groceries or you can use to buy medication.
Interesting.
Right.
Right. Yeah, the same thing with those Visa cards. Again, going back to, you know, Scotia Visa point card, they send a check. You don't get to choose a Bluetooth speaker.
They send a check payable to the estate?
Correct.
So now you have to open up an estate account to deal with this check,
I guess.
Well, that was a question.
Well, you have to deposit it. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were making a statement.
I kind of was, I guess, but I was looking for some confirmation there. Okay, well, okay, let's move on. This is the How Does It Get Probated game that we just decided to play at the last minute here this morning. The big one is that I get a lot. We talked about that Fabergé egg, but let's talk about the car, because I get that question quite often. What happens to mom's car? Does it need to get probated? What's your answer to that, Debbie?
I hate that I have to start this with "it depends." We should have had a little disclaimer at the beginning. Yeah. Debbie Stanley will say it depends. But if the only asset of the estate is the car, then you don't have to probate it. What would happen is that person would go to Service Ontario with the will, death certificate, and show that they are the beneficiary and they can have it transferred over. Now, if there isn't a will, then that gets a little bit trickier. But if they're the beneficiary under the Succession Law Reform Act, again, I'm talking about Ontario, then you could have a lawyer write up a letter saying that, you know, according to the act, they're the beneficiary and please transfer the car.
What if the car is a Ferrari and it's valued at $175,000?
Well, that's a great question, because what are you going to do with that $175,000? But, you know, I haven't had to transfer a Ferrari, but I would think that the same premise runs whether it's a Jetta or a Ferrari.
I'm sure it does. Yes. In fact, when Andrew Monroe was in the studio and he mentioned, we were using the example of a boat, and he was saying, no, we don't need probate on the boat. And I said, well, what if it's a $2 million yacht? And he kind of, you know, hesitated for a second, but it, you know, he said, I guess it's the same premise.
Yeah. I would say that. Now, if you are doing the probate process and there's a house and a bank account and all that stuff, then the car has to be included.
But, okay, so what I was going to say was, you mentioned Service Ontario. See, when I go to Service Ontario to do the transfer of ownership, how does Service Ontario know if it requires probate or not?
Well, they don't. They're, you know, trusting that you have done your due diligence.
So, but you're saying probate's needed if the rest of the estate's getting probated, but that doesn't stop me. So the rest of the estate's getting probated, but I can take the car to Service Ontario and have it changed over to Ted Walshin before probate's finished on the rest of the estate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that for sure. It's whether you're including it on your inventory listing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that the car's frozen. It just means that you have to include it, and that estate administration tax is calculated on the car.
Right. Okay. Well, one more quick question. I just wanted to know, because it did come up in a recent conversation. We got 1 minute. Gold bullion. Real gold bars that are in the safe. I know if you're doing the job properly, you got to report it.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
So probate, assuming it's required on the other parts of the estate, it has to be included in the list.
Right. But if it's the only thing in the estate.
And the same, I would imagine, goes for cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah. Crypto's a whole other ballgame.
That's a challenge.
Just even getting access to it. Yeah. Yeah. That's a real tough one.
We might have to do a show on that. Maybe we get a crypto expert in here one day and talk about
how. That would be great. I think that we should start talking about digital assets more, because it's the way of the future, right? We're not getting away from technology.
Yeah. I think the last time I looked, there was one Bitcoin was worth 28,000, 26,000, 28,000. At one point, they were worth 60,000.
Oh, yeah. It goes up and down like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Good time to buy, Ted. You should buy some today.
Stay away from that.
All right. Well, that was a fun game, Debbie. I hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for participating on very short notice.
Yep. And we'll take a break.
You're welcome. It was fun.
It was fun and very informative, indeed. Of course. And that's what we're here for. It is the Avoid Probate Show. So.
And we'll take a break and come back with the email bag. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a quick conversation to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question. You can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future. And we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Laidler or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And welcome back once again. This is the Avoid Probate Show, and we invite you to send in your comments and your questions. They are all welcome. You can do so via email, info@avoidprobate.ca, or toll-free 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. And we invite you to drop by the website as well, www.avoidprobate.ca. Avoid probate being one word. And there's a free probate calculator there. You can play around with that. It gives you an idea, at least, on how much probate might be payable on your estate or the estate that you happen to be in charge of. So go to www.avoidprobate.ca, and you can also press the listen to the show button to listen to past episodes of the Avoid Probate Show. It's all there for you. So please do that. Mr. Laidler?
Yeah, okay, thanks, Ted. I mentioned we got a big mailbag here.
Yep.
We do. Let's start with this first email, and then I want to set up the next one, because the next one relates to the roadshow.
Yes.
The Avoid Probate Roadshow, and I want to set that up before you read it out loud. But let's start with that first one you got there.
Okay. Hi, I've started to listen. Jeremy Brown, I used to work with at CKFM, used to say listen all the time.
It looks like listen.
I've started to listen to your program on AM 740. Maybe you've already covered this. If so, sorry for the duplication. Don't apologize, because even if we have, it doesn't mean everybody heard.
We do duplication every single week.
Exactly. I have a paid-for house and stocks, and my beneficiaries are my daughter and son. I want them to avoid paying probate. I believe I have to set up a trust account. That would be a bear trust. If so, can I administer it? I do my own tax returns. Or does it have to be someone separate?
Can my assets be transferred in
kind?
Well,
yeah, okay, well, I thought you wanted to say something, but it's okay.
Well, I was going to.
Can my assets be transferred in kind so I can avoid tax? Thanks for your answers.
Okay, so this is interesting because I love the reference to the trust. And to be clear, the listener, the author, did not mention Bear Trust, and that's what I wanted to comment on. So I've paid for a house and stocks. My beneficiaries are my kids. That's very common. If I want them to avoid paying probate, I believe I have to set up a trust account. Let's talk about the trust account. We could do a whole week of shows here on the Avoid Probate Show talking about different kinds of trusts. I don't know, Debbie, if you have any experience with alter ego trusts, joint partner trusts. We certainly talk about Bear Trust, which is one of several options, and it's one that we like because it's simple. It's B-A-R-E, and it's B-A-R-E for a reason. It's also referred to as a naked trust. It's a stripped down, to beat the pun to death, it's a stripped down version of a trust, and it's relatively inexpensive, and there's pros and cons, but there are options. I don't know, Debbie, have you ever worked with estates that have alter ego trusts or joint partner trusts?
No, we've dealt with people in their pre-planning setting up family trusts.
Oh, okay, that was my next question, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of different trusts, and when this gentleman, I think it was a gentleman, if I remember correctly, mentions having to set up a trust account, that to me, like, that's an indication that's just so vague, and that's an indication that this person really needs some guidance, like most people. I'm not knocking anybody here. Because trust account, it's just it's a broad term, and it could come in many different shapes and sizes. We've only really spoken about the Bear Trust on this show, the Avoid Probate Show, and the Bear Trust, in case you're new, once again, is what we recommend to avoid the probate on property, your house, your cottage, the condo, a rental property, whatever the case may be, and that's normally our go-to recommendation, but there are other options, and there are other trusts. But again, the Bear Trust, in my mind, is the simplest and most efficient. But if you have questions about alter ego trusts or other kinds of trusts, the family trust that Debbie just mentioned, we can answer those questions as well. Remember, we're a team of experts here. There's multiple lawyers on the team at any given time who specialize in different aspects of estate planning, and they're more than happy. It's a no-charge phone call. It's a no-charge consultation for us to come see you and try to maybe nail down what the landscape looks like, and that's why we do these no-charge consultations, because every situation is different, but we're happy to do that. So if you want to pursue this, let us know. We'll book a consultation, and then if we need to bring the lawyers in, we do that. They're standing by, ready to help any way that we need them to. Can my assets be transferred in kind? No. The short answer to that is no. Remember, the solution involves a transfer of assets from the banks, normally from the banks, to an insurance company where the rules are different. We can now put a beneficiary on the investments. And I'm talking about investments. I'm not talking about life insurance. When we transfer investments from bank A to insurance company X, we can now put a beneficiary on that account, on that investment portfolio, and that's how we avoid the probate for the daughter and son that this person mentions. And we can make it, you can make it 50-50, but it doesn't have to be 50-50. And we see non-50-50 accounts all the time. For whatever reason, there could be perfectly good reasons. You know, if you've already lent somebody $500,000 and that's an advance, and the other child did not get the advance, well, then maybe it's not 50-50. It's whatever you want. We can set it up any way you like, and we can have as many beneficiaries as you like. There's no limit. So it's very flexible. The money at the insurance company is not locked in. The portfolio is not locked in. And the beneficiaries are not locked in. They don't change very often, but there can be reasons for them to change. And it does happen from time to time. We get a request to make changes, not necessarily to the people on the list, but sometimes to the ratios. So, you know, if there was four people and it was 25 even, sometimes I get a call or a note that says, no, I'm making an adjustment. So-and-so now gets 15%. And adjust the others accordingly, that kind of thing. The point is, it's very, very flexible. There's no cost to make these changes. There's no cost to do the transfer to the insurance company. It's a great solution. I say it all the time, it's the best kept secret in the country, because the bank's not going to tell you to move your money. But that's what we do, and that's how easy it is to avoid the probate. So I hope that answers the questions for this listener. Thank you for taking your time to write in with your email. I said I wanted to set up the next email here because we've talked about for a few weeks now, Ted and Debbie, that we're taking the show on the road. We've created the Avoid Probate Roadshow. We've extended invitations out to the listeners who are part of different organizations, right? Whatever it is, service clubs, church groups, book clubs, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If you'd like us to come out and do a presentation to your club or your group, let us know. And there's no charge for it. We don't charge anything to do that. It's a lot of fun, actually, and it's quite a different experience than listening to the radio show. It's obviously in person, right? And we're all there to take your questions.
And it's interactive. That's the great thing about it. You don't have to, you know, write down the question or email us the question. You just put up your hand and you can ask the question in front of everybody else. Or if you want, you just take Jason aside if it's too personal for you to share. And then you'll have a one-on-one with him right there.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more, what's the word, Ted, free-flowing because we're not on the radio, if you know what I mean. Wink,
that's
wink, right?
That's right.
So this email that Ted's about to read here is coming from one of the organizers of a show we're going to go do later this week. We're really excited. It's way out in the western part of the province in a little town called Ridgetown, Ontario. But we're excited to go there. And this is from one of the organizers who's helping us.
And here's how it reads. Jason, thank you for our chat this evening. The Catholic Women's League supports a large community, and good and accurate information is always sought out for those we support. The Catholic Women's League is thrilled to bring the Avoid Probate Roadshow to the diverse people living here in beautiful Ridgetown, Ontario, often called the friendliest town in Ontario.
Woohoo!
From people who work in the agricultural center to those that retired here, we are ready to learn more about avoiding probate. We want to help those in our area take the worry out of thinking of the future and how more, if not all, of their wishes can be realized. We look forward to myths being dispelled and forming informed dialogues about our futures. And out of that, the one thing that really stuck out for me was we look forward to myths being dispelled.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And Ted and I did not rehearse this.
No, we did not.
It was the only line I was going to comment on in this email, which is lovely and just gets me excited about this show later this week. But the only comment I was going to make, Ted, was about those myths being dispelled because it is so prolific, right? There's so much misinformation out there, and I love it. Well, I love it and I hate it at the same time because someone will say to me, well, I heard that blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, who told you that?
The thing is oftentimes people, and it's a problem with a lot of people where they go to read a story in a newspaper and they read the headline or the first line.
Yeah.
And then they fill in the rest themselves.
Yeah, is that what happens?
Or they're watching CP24 and they see a crawl go by. And it sometimes doesn't give you the information the way they should be delivering the information. And because of that, people become misinformed. And then it becomes anecdotal or, well, you know, my cousin read this thing and he said that this is what it said.
Yeah.
Right?
And Debbie, you must get it all the time too, you know, with regard to state work, right? There must be myths out there that you hear on a regular basis or...
Yes. Google is not my best friend. I always have calls and they say, well, I read on the internet, I read on Google, I Googled this, or my friend told me because when they had their parents' estate, this is what happened to them. And there's a lot of myths out there or just misinformation or well-intentioned advice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Well,
I get it.
It's every estate is different. Every seminar that I ever speak at, I always say, just like our fingerprints are different, so are our estates.
And
so it's really hard to, exactly. So how can you say, well, for my dad's estate, it was like this, when your father's estate might be different?
And lasagnas and cabbage rolls, they're all different too.
Absolutely.
But, yes, and when people say to me, I'll just wrap it up with this, and then we'll end the show. This last comment, I guess, is... when my mom passed away, her dad passed away, it was so easy and blah, blah, blah. And then my question is, well, what year was that? Was it pre-2015 or post-2015? Because if you're a regular listener to this show, you'll know that it was 2015 when the province of Ontario drastically changed the probate process. Drastically. In so many different ways. All in every way. And Debbie can speak to this as well, because new forms were introduced and new filing requirements were introduced and new deadlines and new penalties and new powers of reassessment. You know, we mentioned Debbie's acting as the executive for Roxy Moo. The province can assess Debbie's work in that capacity. The default is 4 years. And if they think there's any funny business going on there, or if they can prove there's any funny business, not that there would be, of course, because Debbie's a professional, but if they think that somebody's not being wholesome or fulsome or whatever, then they can reassess anytime they want.
Mm-hmm.
New rules again. So that's why pre-2015, post-2015, very, very, apples and oranges.
Now, how often do the rules change? I mean, have we seen any rules change in the last year or so?
Debbie has seen, I'm speaking for Debbie here, even though she's on the call, Debbie has seen court documents change, like 3 times in the last year and a half, Debbie? Something like that?
It feels like that. I want to say at least twice in this last year the court documents have been updated, and it just happens. All of a sudden, it's, July came, and these are these new forms. So there's changes always happening, and then tax changes.
Yeah, I mentioned the deadlines. The deadlines changed, to Ted's question. There haven't been, major changes since 2015, but what happened was the province extended the deadlines that they introduced in 2015 because there must have been so much pushback, Debbie, from executors and estate practitioners who said, 90 days, we can't complete this form in 90 days. It's not reasonable. So they doubled, some of the timelines got extended. Other than that, I don't think there's been a lot of changes since then. All right. Well, I think we've got to wrap it up. Another issue of the Avoid Probate Show. Thanks again for joining us. I hope you benefited and learned something. That's the goal here every week, is to teach you some new part of the probate. I call it the probate nightmare, and the solutions, potentially, that we are trying to share and provide with as many people as possible. Got to say a couple of thank yous. Thanks to Debbie Stanley for joining us for the whole hour. That was awesome. And we're going to miss you, Debbie, when you're gone, and we're going to be jealous. You going to send us a postcard from Greece?
I'll send a Greece postcard. I'll be thinking of you.
Yeah, okay. Rub it in. So we'll be missing Debbie for a couple of weeks. We'll be missing her regular weekly update, but we'll get a big, fat, juicy one when she's back, and maybe there'll be some exciting news. All right, thanks to Ted Walshin for decades of radio excellence. Thanks to Kelly once again for taking care of us from behind the glass and navigating things. Oh, before we go, though, Ted, I wanted to ask you about your podcast this week.
My podcast features a gentleman by the name of Mark Maloney, who is an author who spent some time working with Mel Lastman when Mel was the mayor of the mega city. Mark has written a book called Toronto Mayors, A History of the City's Leaders. There have been 66 mayors in the city of Toronto, Olivia Chow being the 66th. Interestingly enough, only 3 have been women, which is interesting.
Barbara Hall.
Barbara Hall, June Rollins, and Olivia Chow.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's some fascinating stories about some of these mayors and some of the things that they pulled. And I'll give you an example. There was one guy who had 18 kids and was always pleading poverty, and he died taking a cruise around the world.
Yeah.
That's how poor he was. But he had 18 kids, and his last name, Sherwood.
Okay. But up...
Well, I'm not kidding you.
Okay.
1842 to 1844. But there's some interesting stories about
1842 to 1844.
Well, at one point, mayors were only elected for 1 year.
Oh, that was the mayor. Okay, I thought that was a life expectancy.
No. Yeah, he lived to be 2, and he had 18 kids. Yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah. You might be wrong.
What a machine!
You might be wrong with your numbers there. You might want to check that.
Yeah. So he, as I mentioned, there were 66 mayors. Some of them were elected for 1 year term. Some were 2, and then it went to 3. Then it went back to 2, and then when Premier McGuinty took over, he established the four-year rule, and each 4 years there is another election.
All right,
unless
sounds
a
good.
Mayor steps down, and 2 have died in office. By the way,
when are you going to run for mayor? By the way, Mr. Wilson,
never.
Huh?
Never.
Come on,
nope. Well,
everyone in the city knows your name.
No interest at
you'd
all.
You'd be a shoo-in.
You know what politics?
I'll be your campaign manager.
Politics has gotten so ugly, and it's just so divisive.
That's why we don't talk about it on the Avoid Probate Show.
We don't. No, I occasionally bring up the war that's going on in Ukraine, but that's not politics. That's history.
Okay, that sounds good, Ted. I'll be eager to hear that podcast and invite
you listeners. And you can get that anywhere you listen to pick up podcasts. Or if you don't know how to do that, go online and go to my website. It's www.tedwoloshin.ca, and the latest is there. And this is, I think, our 100th episode, by the way.
Well, good for you. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Time flies. Okay.
Yeah, we're starting our third season.
Speaking of flying, we're out of here. I hope you join us next week again for the next episode of the Avoid Probate Show. Ted and I will be here. Debbie Stanley will not be. She'll be getting a sunburn. But we'll do it again next week. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.